Backseat Box Office, episode number 69, for the weekend of January 13th through the 15th, 2012.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
And this is episode 69.
Yes, it is. So, Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that, you know, nothing's burnt down while I've been gone.
No.
In fact, I think things may have even improved since I've been here last.
Yeah, things have definitely changed.
They look different.
Yeah, because we can actually see each other. This is going to be nice and distracting.
Yeah, if,
like, if we don't have enough ADD problems as it is with this show.
We are now using Google Hangout. And so we actually have all of our pictures. I'm staring at Jonathan's video feed now because he's doing something weird. And we're using Mixlr now instead of Ustream. And Tony, tell me about this blazing new laptop you got.
Yeah, so I've been looking at laptops for a little while now, and
with good reason.
Yeah, well, the one I had was about 3 years old, and it was a cheap laptop when I got it 3 years ago. And I'd been kind of jonesing for something new. I would have to delete files every like 2 weeks just to keep up with the hard drive, because the hard drive kept getting full. And I just couldn't work with it much anymore. I mean, it still did a good enough job for the podcast, but with what we were doing with Skype and Ustream and recording, it could barely keep up. And I started to actually notice there was a couple of points in the audio where there would be jumps in the audio. And I would be able to, either they weren't that noticeable or I could edit them out, but they did start to creep in. So, yeah, I found a brand new HP DV6. It's got a Core i7, 750 gig hard drive, 8 gig of RAM. This thing smokes. And for the first time, I've been able to use Google Hangouts, watching Andrew rub his nipples.
Non-squitter.
And what's funny is Jonathan wasn't looking. And I could tell.
I was trying to do math, and that requires
focus.
An uncomfortable amount of focus.
I'm just saying, you start describing brand new hardware, I get excited.
Well, it's fair. I actually tried out StarCraft II on medium, and it ran perfectly fine. I was very excited about that. I actually installed and was playing for a little bit DC Online, the DC Universe Online. Played that for a few minutes.
Now, what did you think? Obviously, you've only played a few minutes, but what are your initial thoughts?
I did not care for the opening.
The cinematic opening?
The cinematic opening I had seen a couple of months before the release of the game. And I sat here and watched the whole thing again, just because it's so good. It's, the action is so fierce and fast and awesome that it just felt like a real superhero fight. I wish some of the movies could crib for action from that cinematic. But you know, it starts off, you're in Brainiac's harvest ship, and it was like, I don't care about this. It just seemed odd to me. It seemed like an odd choice, but I kind of understand with the story where they're going with it. And I'm, because the character I picked, I picked a character that had hardware as their powers. So I thought, well, Batman's kind of a natural choice as my mentor. So now I'm running around in Gotham, and it's different.
Well, you know, when you're in Gotham, you're probably used to feeling like you're the goddamn Batman.
That's true, and I didn't feel like I'm the goddamn Batman because I'm actually flying.
Now, what is the... you said you're tech-based, so do you have, like, a jetpack?
No, I just fly. That's the weird part. Like, it says that my powers are, like, tech-based, but I shoot blasts from my hands, and, yeah, pew, 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 and I
Jonathan
fly. Jonathan's missing all the good stuff. And I fly, but there's no obvious, like, exhaust or feedback or anything. And so it's, I don't know. I don't quite get how that works, but it's a pretty game. And
maybe your only super ability is flight. And so in order to, you know, be more awesome, you have to get guns.
Yeah.
You know, ever when it went free to play, I've been somewhat interested in downloading it, but I haven't pulled the trigger.
It is a big download. It is an 18 gig download. Yeah. Yeah. It's hefty. But it honestly, it didn't take that long. I set up the my Nook to have a remote desktop feature on it. So I started StarCraft to download last night, and that's an 7 or 8 gig download.
Yeah.
And something happened in the middle of the night. I got an update or something, so it paused the download on me till this morning. So I restarted it, had about 5 hours to go. So around lunchtime, I was done with the StarCraft download. I used my Nook to remote desktop home. I cleared that out and started the DCU download. By the time I got home 5 hours later, it was done.
It's not bad.
So it really wasn't bad. It actually took less time to download that 18 gig than it did to download StarCraft's 7 gig. And part of that is because the way they download, Blizzard's downloader is a peer-to-peer download.
It's BitTorrent.
Yeah, it's basically BitTorrent. Where the DCU one seemed to be more just a straight download. If it was a BitTorrent download, it obfuscated it, so I couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite possible that it just has more people using those files actively than StarCraft 2. I mean, StarCraft 2 is an older game.
Actually, I'm pretty sure DCU predates StarCraft 2.
Yeah, but DCU going free to play is more
absolutely
recent.
That's absolutely.
And free to play has a tendency to increase your user base. So, whereas StarCraft is in a situation where it's just going to do nothing but drop off. People downloading
unless you're from South Korea.
Well, then before.
But they already have it.
That's true.
And probably in the months leading up to Heart of the Swarm, it's probably going to
pick up
a little. Yeah, there'd probably be a spike in players again there.
So, let's talk about last week.
Let's.
As you guys may have to. Well, yes, I'm very sorry. But as you may or may not know, The Devil Inside, unexpected to me, came in number one this week with $33.7 million. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol dropped to number two with $19.8 million. Sherlock Holmes dropped a place as well to number three with $13.6 million. At number four, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo held steady with $11.3 million. And then at number five, we had Alvin the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, as I know many of our listeners love the monks, as I do, with $9.4
million. Lovely.
I have nothing to say. I refuse
you
to
should probably
about this.
Also go down to number six.
Well, that'd be Warhorse with $8.6 million.
Keep going.
Keep going. Okay. At number seven, we had We Bought a Zoo with $8.3 million. At number eight, there's The Adventures of Tintin with $6.7 million. And at number nine, I think BD's favorite, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, came in with $5.4 million.
We had a couple of people pick Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy this week.
Was one of them BD?
Mr. 24? No.
Not with the 24.
You mean Mr. I'm going to tweet about how Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is the spieler for this week on his Twitter account, BD?
That's the one.
You know, I started to talk, and I saw the drink go up to your face. I was like, oh, well, that was bad timing.
It's okay. It normally happens. This now you could actually predict it, and you could see it coming, and now you can plan for it and stop in the middle of my drink.
Or we can use that as an opportunity to actively mess with you.
Or say something to try to get me to shoot water out of my nose. Better yet, wait till I'm drinking scotch and do it.
Ooh, that'll burn.
Yeah.
So I somehow, I'm not sure how, came in number one out of the host this week with 20 whole points. My picks last week, I had Mission Impossible at number one. Obviously, I came in number two. There's a point. I had Sherlock Holmes at number two. It was number three. There's a point. I had Alvin the Chipmunks at number three. It was number five. There's 2 points. And then finally, I had The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at number four. That was spot on. Didn't lose anything. And then finally, War Horse, number five. I was off a point. So total of 5 points off for grand total of 20. Tony, why don't you tell us how you did?
Do I have to?
Yes.
I don't really want to, though.
This isn't a situation where it's a want or a need.
Yeah, it's not a choice.
That's right.
This is the format.
Yeah. We could change the format. We're changing everything else. This would be a good time to change
just
the format.
Just tell your list. Read off your... I have to do it too, so...
All right, so number one, I picked Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which I saw and enjoyed.
As did I.
Thoroughly. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was actually number two, so I lost a point there. Sherlock Holmes, I picked at number two. It was in third. I picked Alvin and the Chipmunks in third, and it was in fifth, so I lost 2 points there. Picked The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo in fourth, and it was. So good for me. And I picked We Bought a Zoo in fifth, and it was in seventh. Though, not by much. It was fairly close with War Horse. So, yeah, I ended up with an 18 on the week.
So, I need to go over the math on my list here, because I think I got shafted a point.
You need to take that up with S.
Huh?
I did not do the points this week. I have passed this off to the intern.
Oh, the intern.
Tell you what.
What's the punishment for an intern that messes? Well, see, here's the thing.
Actually, Jonathan, I agree. I've got you in at 18 points. I just did it.
Yeah. I know I'm an English major. Graduate, I guess, now.
With a long track history of being bad at the math.
Being bad at the math. But I had... I forgot.
Double points for number one.
Yeah, I forgot about double points for number one.
Yeah, you lost 2 points for Mission Impossible. One for Sherlock
Holmes.
That's
what screws me up.
Yeah. Oh,
nope, we're good. Okay. I apologize. Anytime I question the math, you should know you probably did it right. Which means I get to mock Andrew.
I did. Well, you know, when I read my list, I did it wrong because I did not count myself off 2 points for Mission Impossible.
So I had Mission Impossible at number one, Sherlock at number two. Those were both Office Space. Chipmunks at number three, and Warhorse at number four, which were both off 2 spaces. And then Dragon Tattoo at number five, which was off a space in the other direction from the other four. So that ended me with a 17. Once again, I am plotting my comeback later in the year.
Well, I gotta break in here because I need you guys to review my points because I think I should be one lower at 19.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Well, so Mission Impossible really counts. Cost me 2, right?
Yeah.
Sherlock cost me 1 more for 3.
Yeah.
Alvin cost me 2 for 5.
Yeah.
Girl cost me nothing. I had it right. But then Warhorse, I was off 1 for a total of 6.
Yeah, that would be 19.
Wait a minute. I see the mistake. That is a 19.
Yep.
I just looked at the spreadsheet.
So I'm going to self-report.
We will have to adjust that on the leaderboard.
But I still best score of the weekend.
Still best score of the week.
Yes. Yes. Let's see.
And of course, Mr. BD with his 24.
And I will on the fly correct things here. It doesn't change the rankings at all, but it does change your overall average slightly.
Sure.
You are still above Uriah.
And that's the important thing. And I'm above Jonathan, right?
And above Jonathan, yes.
That's okay, I'm happy.
Clearly that's all that matters.
To me, yes.
Yeah. There's still four and a half months.
I dropped fourth to seventh place this week.
Oh, and we should mention S, our intern, I guess, is the right term. I think she had her worst score since she started playing with a 19 this week.
Yeah. So what's really funny is that we've acquired some new interns. A couple of weeks ago, I was like, I think it was the week right before the holidays really kicked in, and I was stressed at work and things were running late, and I recorded the results show very late one night. And said, man, if any of you guys could help, that would be great. So then S contacted me. And then William contacted me. And then BD contacted me. So we basically have three new helpers. If anybody else wants to help, they can.
So God bless the people who have come forward to help.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because my life's gone out the window, so God knows how much longer I'm going to be around. I think all of us really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Most assuredly, because Jonathan doesn't want to actually have to do any work.
As Jonathan likes to tell us, he's got another show he's working on.
I'll make sure to let Sam know that.
I got a full-time job being unemployed, all right?
Hey, I understand. It is hard work being unemployed. You're so busy all the time.
So, you know, I don't know if you guys listen to the Bear Swarm.
Not recently.
Just recently, one of their listeners went through their first 100 episodes and made a best of, about a 3-hour long best of episode.
Wow.
So I was thinking about doing this for Way of the Game, mainly because I want Sam's rant about a satellite.
That is a great rant.
I still think of that just out of the blue. I'll be sitting at work doing something, or you know, be at a ball game or whatever, and suddenly I'll just hear him screaming into the mic, like, "Mir, flatten the village, killed everybody, little baby's on fire."
What's really funny is I've been looking at laptops recently. And every time I see a Toshiba satellite, I think of Sam. It's like, oh, there's a Toshiba satellite. Sam, cross that one off my list.
Oh, well, that's how things were rolled out last week. Let us turn our gaze to the future and talk about the three new movies coming out this week.
Yes.
Well, upgrade.
Two new movies, an upgrade to an old movie, and then a movie expanding.
Yeah, that's
fair.
Into technically wide release.
Yeah. Once it's technically wide release, it doesn't actually matter what it is.
Barely wide release.
Barely. It doesn't meet my definition of wide release.
This is...
What's your definition?
This is the Descendants 1000? Version.
2000?
Wide release.
My definition of wide release is right around 1500.
Okay.
Unless you're a brand new blockbuster opening only on 432 IMAX screen with the new Batman trailer in front of it, then you count.
If you were here for the math, it would have all made sense. You don't know how long we spent working the math out.
Well, I'm going to take the tough one this week. I'll take this... the hard movie. So, Beauty and the Beast is being upgraded to a 3D release from Buena Vista. It's opening up in 2,625 theaters this week. I think we all remember how Lion King 3D ended up doing.
Yeah.
Will Beauty match that, or is it going to fall short? Tony?
I have a feeling it's going to do very well. When it was announced that Lion King was coming out and going to be in 3D, it was like, oh, we should go see that. And we thought about it and kind of piddled around with it and didn't really ever end up pulling the trigger on it. When Beauty and the Beast was announced, all of the oxygen was sucked out of the whole entire house by my wife. The gasp. The near heart attack was astounding. She has been daily asking everyone in the house, so, are you going to see it with me? It's not a matter of, are we going to see it? Who's going to see it? It's, are you going to see it with me? She's going. There is no two ways about it. But the bigger question is who else is going to also go along with her?
Your participation would be appreciated, but is in no way
it is not
required.
Necessary. Hey, it's all the better if you don't want to go, because if one of the children don't want to go, that doesn't slow me down at all then. So, yeah. We actually had a conversation about it this evening, and I said, you know, we've watched it recently, and it just, there's something about it that at the time was very novel, but it just doesn't hold up as well for me as something like The Lion King does.
So after
and I think
said
I'm just
this...
spoiled more on Pixar, and The Lion King feels more like a Pixar type story than Beauty and the Beast does. Beauty and the Beast is more of that classic old school Disney, which is fine, but I was never really that drawn to it.
Now, did you share this feeling and opinion with your wife?
Yeah. Yeah. I told her, I said, you know, and she's like, fine, I'll go.
So how was the couch? Comfy, sectional. What do you got?
She understands. I mean, it's not gonna take away from her enjoyment. She has rolled her eyes at a number of movies that I have vapor locked for. So it's just fair play at this point.
Real quick, speaking of vapor locked in anticipation. I assume, Tony, that you saw the Avengers trailer in front of Mission Impossible?
I did not.
Ooh, we did.
I've seen the Avengers trailer before.
Yes. This was on the big screen, though.
Yeah.
The big sound system.
Yeah, I saw it on the big screen.
Yeah, Uri and I went to go see Mission Impossible last week, and I saw that trailer, and I was just ecstatic.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that... I'm remaining a little bit cautious, but I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be really good, but I'm still, something in me is holding back just a little bit because I don't want to be that disappointed
Tony,
if something doesn't work out.
I have to take your slight bit of hesitation, and I'm just going to have to call you out as the hater you obviously are.
Yes, Adam David, that is exactly what it is.
Why do you hate this movie, Tony? Why do you hate this movie?
It's not that I hate it. It's just I'm concerned. I'm concerned that it'll be too much Joss Whedon and not enough Avengers.
I just really wanted to call back to Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I know.
Really.
I know exactly what you were doing.
All right, well, I took the tough one. Tony, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Contraband?
I would if I knew anything about it. So, it's about drug running, and...
Now, do you know that, or are you bluffing?
No, because Contraband tends to be about people taking things places where it's not supposed to go. So, I'm making up a story in my head of what this is about.
Well, I'm not sure.
Guns,
I mean,
though. People. What? I mean, contraband covers a lot of...
It's guns. It's guns and drugs. And they're hiding them inside of people that they're taking places.
So, drug-running coyotes?
Yes.
I think you're both wrong. I think... And I'm just taking a stab at it. I've read nothing about
Marky
this.
Mark's
but
in
this
it.
Is... This is my stab at it.
Ooh, J.K. Simmons.
I think Contraband is a remake of the Icelandic film Reykjavik Rotterdam. And it's about an ex-con played by Mark Wahlberg.
You know what? This seems to be a real stretch here. My explanation seems to be a whole lot more realistic.
I want to see Tony's movie, not yours, Andrew.
How about if I told you that director Baltazar Kormákur scripted, produced, and starred in the original?
Not helping.
Now you're just making up words. I mean,
I am not hearing, you know, balloons of drugs shoved inside illegal immigrants. So come on.
Sorry, I was just off the top of my head. It was ridiculous. I apologize.
Goody.
So Jonathan, forget my nonsense. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us about the movie you're excited about this week and Joyful Noise.
Well, you know, I'm always in for a Dolly Parton, Queen Latifah
team
musical
up.
Mashup thing.
This movie is not made for us.
What gave you that idea?
No.
Queen Latifah, Dolly Parton, trying to save a small town gospel choir.
Yeah, the small town of Pacasho, Georgia has fallen on hard times, but the people are counting on the Divinity Church Choir to lift their spirits by winning the National Joyful Noise Competition. Choir has always known how to sing in harmony, but the discord between its two leading ladies now threatens to tear them apart. It's dangerous.
I will never see this movie.
Have you seen like any of the commercials?
No, I've not seen any of the commercials, nor do I want to.
You need to watch just a few seconds of one just to see how disturbing Dolly Parton looks.
You say that, Tony.
Her face.
But what I hear.
Her face looks like it's one of the motion captured women from L.A. Noir.
You say that, Tony, but all I hear is you saying you should really probably get hit in the nuts a couple times just to see what it's like.
Yeah,
and once every couple years, just get nut punched.
Well, that's what sausage fest is for.
don't get me excited. It's too far in the future. Don't get me excited.
It's only 9 months away.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, there are sparks between teenagers that cause heat between Parton and Latifah.
Yeah,
that's more of what I read.
All right, I stomped all over what Contraband was really about.
No.
Really?
No, go
really?
Ahead.
Are you sure?
It is about... I do see the words drug, running, smuggler, crew...
Icelandic?
Panama.
Remake.
Brutal drug lords.
Breakfast Nook.
Criminal.
Eric the Red.
Counterfeit Bills.
Queen Latifah.
And Giovanni Ribisi.
George Clooney. Because
everything
George
else,
Clooney,
though,
Tony.
Because George Clooney. So, Chris Faraday long ago abandoned his life of crime, but after his brother-in-law, Andy, botches a drug deal for his ruthless boss, Tim Briggs, Chris is forced back into doing what he does best, running Contraband to settle Andy's debt. Blah, 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 blah. So it's an action movie thriller thing. I'm not going to read it anymore.
Yes.
Apparently, Marky Mark has a itch on his side.
The shirt, like it shows him lifting it up his shirt to scratch the itch.
Yeah. Which, so, you would think that would be kind of dumb wallet. When you've got counterfeit bills strapped to your stuff.
Well,
I mean,
that's a very big wallet. It's the new fashions thing.
Well, see, but this explains why he's always shaved his body, because when you rip the tape holding that package off the skin, you don't want to pull hair at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
No, that is not a good day.
Pleasant. Especially at his age, he's probably got the back hair thing going on.
Age has nothing to do with that. I speak from experience. Age has nothing to do with that.
I don't want to. Let's stop. Stop. Don't say any more, Tony.
We have cams now.
Tony, I will block you. So those are, well, I guess one more, I guess we should just mention
Andrew,
Iron Lady's opening
day. We know how hard you are for this movie.
I do really want to see this movie. I want to go see Iron Lady. It's opening up to 800 theaters this weekend.
Big Margaret Thatcher fan, huh?
Big UK fan. You look up Anglophile in the dictionary, there's my picture, just smiling. like this.
Sorry, listeners. It's either that or your fighting squirrel's hat. One of the two.
That's in the other room. I can't put that to the camera. I like the first time I met Chibi, he's like, "That's a real hat?" And I said, "Yeah." He's like, "I thought it was just a picture of a Pokemon you found online and cropped." I was like, "No, it's a real college mascot to fight squirrels, man." So I guess we might as well get the unpleasantness over with. I have to lead off, so
you do.
I'm not looking forward to this.
Make that happen.
So I just want to do it, make these guys uncomfortable, and then maybe we can talk about some video games. Or maybe Mission Impossible, since Tony and I both saw it.
Yep. That's fine. Okay.
Jonathan, you haven't checked that out, have you, Jonathan?
No.
We can do a bit of a spoiler-free discussion about it.
It's Mission Impossible. What spoilers are there?
Or, you know what we could do? What we could do is, after we're done with the show, Andrew, you and I stick around, and we could record a Backseat Quickies about Mission Impossible.
We could.
Hey. 10 minutes. 10 minutes?
There you go.
Give Scott a little break for doing all his good work.
Well, let me... Oh, so just in case you don't know, Scott has his own podcast called Smells Better on the Outside.
That's true.
I may or may not be on an upcoming episode talking about Glenn Cook's Black Company series with him.
Excellent. What is that?
I mean, it's a book series. Glenn Cook's actually a local Missouri writer. He wrote about, I want to say, 10 novels in this series over a 16-year period.
Interesting. I had no clue about that. I look forward to listening to Scott's program to learn more.
I encourage anyone who's interested to do the same. So, my picks. I'm willing to stare deeply into Stingray's eyes before I give them just a comfort. Hold on. Oh, and that's just sexy. So, at number one, I'm putting Beauty and the Beast 3D. At number two, I'm putting The Devil Inside. At number three, I'm putting Contraband. At number four, I'm putting Sherlock Holmes. At number five, because I'm a moron, I'm putting Joyful Noise. That's all I got. Tony, Jonathan, you guys were tied. Do what you will.
I don't think we're tied.
We're not tied. I hate to break it to you, but...
Sorry, we had that whole confusion earlier. Sorry.
Jonathan gets straight out to last. But I don't know what I'm going to do here. Well, maybe I do. So... I'm going to talk this out because I haven't completely decided what I'm doing. I think I'm going to go with Beauty and the Beast at number one, Contraband at number two. The Devil Inside, I want to say, is going to have a sizable drop. Just looking at some of the dailies, it's not performing as well on the dailies as some of the other films. But I think when the weekend crowd comes out, it'll kind of pop back up above some of those others. I don't think it's going to perform quite as well as it did. I could be wrong, but I've not heard anything good about the movie. Have you guys at all?
Nor have I.
I've actually heard some people saying when it was announced how well it was doing, like in its midnight shows and things like that, that people were just actively booing it,
mm-hmm.
like during the midnight showings and stuff.
Wow.
The ending was apparently quite controversial.
Oh. Yeah, I know next to nothing about it, aside from the one commercial I've seen about it.
Hmm.
But, yeah. Quite frankly, it doesn't look like it's something that would interest me. I'm going to keep it at number three, though. I think it probably still has enough weight behind it that it could pull that off. I'm going to say Mission Impossible 4 at number 4. And then Joyful Noise at number 5.
Ah, so you're going to be a pinhead like me and put Joyful Noise at number 5.
Yes.
I'm just saying Joyful Noise, the new Dylan Dog.
I don't think so. I think it's got an audience. And I think this movie could surprise some people and get in the top 5. It could get in the top 3.
I disagree.
I think back to Courageous, and I think back to some of the other movies.
I don't think Courageous is quite the same.
No.
Audience.
No, but they're movies that we've kind of panned because we're like, that's not going to be, and then they turned around.
No.
Clearly we are not the audience for Joyful Noise, but I can very clearly in my mind see the audience for Joyful Noise.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fans of Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah, of which there are a lot of both of those.
Yeah. Are you guys picturing the theater with these two crowds of people in it together?
That is going to be awesome.
I just want some pictures of these theaters.
It's supposed to be, a gospel type musical, so yeah, I could see that. I mean,
so a sister act, but
yeah, so
I'm just saying,
it's a good movie though. So what are you saying?
I'm saying this. I'm saying Dolly Parton has an aging demographic. I'm saying Queen Latifah, although a fairly large name in her industry, hasn't really done anything lately that I'm aware of. And people are going to go and see this movie. It'll be seen, but I see it having a very anemic box office.
We'll see. Yet still, But yet you still put it at number 5, where the safe pick would have been not to have it on your list at all.
Well, as you remember, I just said it because I'm a moron. Joyful Noise at number 5.
That's true.
And just so you can clip it out cleanly, hold on. I'm a moron.
Wait a minute. Who's editing this?
Neither of us, really. It's Thursday night.
That's true. This is gonna go out pretty raw.
Yeah. So little background for the listeners. It's Thursday night. This is going to get just the most gentle touch as we package it and show it up to one.
So, can I give my picks yet?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Are you going to go? What did I say about not editing this? Come on. What are you doing to me?
Blame Jonathan.
I like your life hard. Not you, Dard, just your life.
That's thinly veiled. Obviously, you got some deeper feelings there. What about your picks?
I'm just saying, I prefer to be on top of you. That's all.
I know, you've been under me for some time now.
So at number one, I've got Beauty and the Beast. Number two, I've got Contraband. And if you're a moron for putting Joyful Noise at number 5, I hope it's because you put it too low, because I put it at number 3.
Ooh.
I figure Contraband is coming out. Mission Impossible has been out for a while. You're probably going to see a pretty sizable drop for that, just assuming that the audiences cross over. And it could be all right. I don't know. It could draw more people who are looking. You know, there aren't that many musicals. There are a lot of people that enjoy the musicals. My wife likes both of those people, so I could see, you know, she likes Queen Latifah's movies and 9 to 5. I put then Mission Impossible 4 at number 4 with The Devil Inside at number 5, because from what I understand, people hate the ending of Devil Inside. And it's entirely likely that that could just plummet. It's not really a spoiler, but if you're worried about spoilers for it, apparently the way it ends is that they have the typical, you know, cliffhanger ending, everybody dies sort of thing that most of the other found footage movies have. But the problem is they have at the end something like to see the rest of the story go to a given website, and that's what people were booing right at the end. Oh, I have to, in order to watch the real ending, I have to go to some marketing website.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they have a plate at the end that's like to see what happened, or to learn the rest of the story, you go to somethingsomething.com, and wow. Then the credits roll. And it turns out that it's not even like more stuff. There's no extra story or bonus for, you know, going there. It's just random marketing crap that would have been shown before the movie came out. So it was a weird decision that they made that apparently has people really pissed.
Wow. That's terrible.
So, but anyway, those are my 5 and my reasoning.
So is there anything we want to cover tonight before we call it a night? We could tell everybody that we're starting out on a brave new venture by playing Risk by email with each other.
Yes, we are.
This may actually result in the breakup of the podcast.
Hey, it's not diplomacy. It's just Risk.
Did you think diplomacy was an option?
Diplomacy is one of the options.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to sign up for that with some people.
Some people you don't podcast with, I hope.
No, I don't podcast with them. I do know them, though. So,
yeah,
I don't know where I live, though, for the most part.
I don't know what it is about diplomacy that makes it so much more toxic than other games like that. Because there are games similar to it, but diplomacy, for some reason, turns people into just bloodthirsty maniacs.
I've never played it.
It seems like it's because the entire game revolves exclusively around the deals that you make. So, like, Risk, you make deals and you're making and breaking alliances, but you also have the dice, you know, that are going your way or not, and that kind of thing. From what I understand, diplomacy, once it's set up and once you get going, you, like, everything comes down to what the deals are that you make. There's no randomness. There's no nothing. You know, like,
wow.
When you decide to stab somebody in the back, you stab them in the back hard.
There's definitely a lot less randomness when compared to, say, Risk. Because Risk has a pretty wide swing. You can be on the top of the world 1 second and then just be throw a bunch of ones and be decimated the next.
Yeah, you can have one dude wipe out your army of 20, but...
keep throwing sixes.
I haven't played diplomacy, but I just, from what I read of the rules, it was like you have a little bit of randomness in how the board is set up, and then everything is just when you move into a territory, you know exactly what's going to happen. So,
all right.
But I don't know.
Well, I'm hoping to crush both of you in our upcoming Risk game.
Yeah, and we've got Sam the Excited joining in.
Sam the Addicted. Oh my goodness.
Is he fiending?
Fully half of my Xbox message list is from Sam and 3 letters and a question mark. EDF? Like, he's goddamn addicted. He is just... I think he has withdrawal symptoms when he doesn't get some co-op bug killing in a day.
Well, I've noticed the same thing from his Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Probably more of his general tweets are just to you asking, EDF? Mm-hmm. Or to Alex asking, EDF?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a surprisingly fun game. I'm not going to deny that, but the way it's got its hooks in him is disturbing.
Unfortunately, I've been unable to locate a copy locally.
I got mine for $20 off of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Free shipping with Prime, and there you go.
Yeah, I've thought about that one. Now that I've cleaned up Arkham City.
Have you finished all the Catwoman stuff?
What's that?
That was three different questions all at the same time.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Have you finished, well, I mean, yours is more immediately relevant. Have you finished all the Catwoman stuff?
Did you steal my question?
I attributed it to you.
It's true.
I quoted the source. I think I finished all of it, because I downloaded it. I played a little bit of the Batman stuff. Then I downloaded the Catwoman pack and went and played like two missions, and it said, and then it told me, you can't play anymore until you get farther into the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was playing the Batman story, and then all of a sudden, like, something happens, and the next scene I'm playing as Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
So I played that, and then like finished for the night and went back to it the next day, and I saw that it said new on my Catwoman screen. So I went there, and it was the same section that I had just played as part of the story. So it takes the Catwoman chapters and places them into the story in the appropriate places.
Yeah, it integrates them.
It integrates it really nicely. So I didn't have to go back out to select the Catwoman stories to finish them. So yes, I am done with Catwoman.
But my question was, or would you like to ask it, Andrew? Because I took yours. I don't know what that meant. Have you finished L.A. Noire?
I still have not finished L.A. Noire. I stopped playing L.A. Noire to play Batman. And I actually am not completely done with Arkham City, because I want to finish some of the side missions.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after I finished the main set, I went immediately back in and... well, because the last thing you have to do after you finish the game is you have to play Catwoman one more time to go get her stuff.
Yeah.
And that actually ends the whole story sequence. And so then it gives you the point where you can switch back and forth between Batman and Catwoman. And I went to Batman, and I got to this... One of the things I was having difficulty with was finding Nora for Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get to that section, and I was like, all right, so I'm going to get to the highest point I can in this area to look down to see if I see any doorways, if I see anything that makes sense where I could get to it.
You climbed to the top of the Ferris wheel, didn't you?
No, I climbed to the top of one of the towers out by the bay and found the markings for the mysterious watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so... when I saw that, I was like, that looks like Azrael. And I want to see where this goes. So I've pretty much committed at that point that I'm going to play the rest of these side missions, because some of them are kind of fun. I'm getting pretty close.
The side missions are actually good, because they set up, like, the way the story ends is pretty final.
Yes.
But the way the side missions end... the side missions that you do kind of set up things that could be done in the sequel.
Right.
So some of them end and end completely, but some of them are open ended and they're like, oh, so that's what they're going to do with Arkham Universe or whatever they do next.
Really, I mean, without spoiling anything, the ending of the game proper is a good ending.
Mm-hmm.
But it's open enough that it makes total sense why Batman would continue on and get those side missions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a huge area, and yeah, that story's over, but there's blocks and blocks of city here that were minorly or not at all affected by the end game.
Yeah.
So there's still plenty of reason to go back in.
Yeah. And there's plenty of stuff and plenty of mysteries still in there. But
oh, yeah. Yeah.
The I read an interesting thing that posited that Joker isn't the real main bad guy of either Arkham Asylum or Arkham City, that it's actually Riddler.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's the one that is the big mastermind that's going on through all of these.
Yeah, he had to set everything up beforehand, knowing exactly.
Yeah.
It was a kind of ridiculous story excuse, like imagined story excuse for why we just put a bunch of collectibles in a bunch of different places, but it was kind of clever.
It would make perfect sense if Riddler is the big bad in a sequel.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
So, Jonathan, for future reference, that gesture was, my mic is muted, I've navigated away from the screen. So go on without me.
Go on. God.
Leave me behind. Save yourself.
I thought it might be something along those lines.
I was reading an article and I muted my thing so I wouldn't disturb you. He asked me a question like, oh, which tab is... Oh.
Oops.
All right. Well, I think this will stick a fork in it for me this week, guys.
Yep. This is a good one.
Hopefully, technologies and lack of editing will not come through too strongly in this episode.
We'll see. There might be a little bit of clipping toward the end of this one. I might have to work a little bit on the audio. But we'll get it out.
Yes, we'll get things smoothed out and probably start editing again next week.
Maybe.
But not this week.
No. All right.
So good luck.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.